Even dogs are listening. Cats? Only if they hear the can opener. Seville 107.5 FM, AM 1260 WCHV.
WCHV time is 7:50. Good morning. Joining us on the Newsmakers line, hit all the wires over the weekend at the RPV Advance at the Homestead. Worst kept secret in Virginia politics, Nick Freitas of the Virginia House of Delegates out of Culpeper was planning to and now is officially running for the U.S. Senate. Good morning, Nick. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing great, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. And Merry Christmas season to you. Hey, we've been talking about this with my listeners. How do you handle the holiday parties, the Christmas parties, when people start coming to you? You're a Republican, aren't you? And do you try to de-escalate those conversations? Do you deflect them, or do you just say, "All right, let's roll up our sleeves and do some crossfire here"?
No, I mean, I think it's a great thing when somebody comes up, especially if they're willing to talk to you. Especially if they have a misconception about what it is that you believe or what it is that you stand for, the first thing you just need to do is just be quiet and listen. Don't get defensive. Let them have it out, and then go by and start to ask questions and start to explain what it is you really believe and why you believe that way and what in your own personal experiences have led you to those conclusions. And I think you find that when you talk about end states and what you actually want to achieve at the end of the day, people end up seeing that there's a lot of agreement. There may just be some disagreement with respect to the process.
Well, there you go. So there's a tip from Nick. So what was it that made you say, I need to run against Tim Kaine in 2018?
Tim Kaine for the last 5 years is what made me think that maybe certainly somebody needed to run against him. I think over the last 6 months, as more and more people asked me to consider running against him, and what came to the forefront with respect to people that were asking me to run was they felt that I could articulate the principles of individual liberty, of private property rights, of limited constitutional government in a way that they thought would be effective in what is becoming a very difficult place for Republicans to win statewide. And so we took that to heart and we prayed about it as a family. And again, we went through an exploratory committee process and decided that it would be the correct decision.
So talk about the nominating process. There's two now, probably going to be two more. God help us if it's one of them's a nationally syndicated talk radio show host, because radio show hosts always convince themselves that they're more popular than they are. But that being said, Nick, talk about getting to Tim Kaine first through the Republican nominating process and the primary that will come in 2018. Are you excited for that, or are you concerned that it could become divisive and we wind up with two parties again like we did in 2013, where a lot of Republicans stayed home rather than go out and vote for Ken Cuccinelli for governor?
I am concerned about the divisiveness currently within the Republican Party. But again, some of this is a discussion that needs to take place. I think it's a healthy thing for a political party to go through an internal nominating process where we decide who's going to carry the standard, who's going to be the standard bearer going into the general election. But there's a way to do that that's civil. And I think all of us are committed to that. And I hope that plays out. And I hope that plays out through all of our surrogates and all of our supporters as well. And so far, with respect to the candidates running at the top of the ticket, I think that's what you've seen. And let's hope it continues that way, because I'm certainly not going to engage in the Republican circular firing squad that seems to be so popular these days. And the one thing I always encourage people to is there's a lot of people out there in the press, present company excluded, Joe.
But
there's a lot of people out there in the press that love to see the controversy within the Republican Party.
Oh, yeah.
And as candidates, we have a way of either fostering that or shutting it down. And I think if we're all committed to shutting it down and not allowing, those certain elements of the press, and we all know who they are, from encouraging Republicans to tear each other to pieces, we'll be a lot better off as a party.
Do you think, and I've watched a lot of Virginia politics over the last 10 years I've been in the Commonwealth, and I'm still left with the campaign that Bob McDonnell, along with Bill Bowling and Ken Cuccinelli, ran in 2009, and how they really were in all these towns, and they didn't leave a stone unturned, even to the point where Bob carried Albemarle County, which I'm sure your consultants would tell you, don't waste your time going on WCHV, it's Charlottesville, and they're never going to vote for you anyway. But Bob actually won Albemarle County because he came here, he engaged. And I think the message has always been the more you shake hands with the less you worry about the free media of getting on the evening news, and the more you spend time shaking hands and doing the retail politics, I think the better off you are, even on a statewide race.
No, I would agree with that. I think we always talk about outreach within the Republican Party, but then our version of outreach is we want to invite people to come to our meetings. That's not outreach. Outreach is when you are willing to go into areas and talk to people that are never going to come to your meetings, to include areas that might not be all that friendly toward you. And I've really enjoyed going to meetings like that, where you take the time to get to know people. And again, when they understand where you're coming from, when they understand that both sides of the conversation want people to be happy, healthy, prosperous, and free, and then we can have a legitimate conversation about what's the best way to get there, and how do we avoid the pitfalls that take place. Even if you don't get a supporter, you get someone that is not going to be angry with you or think that you're a hateful person. They're going to understand that you just have a different perspective. And more often than not, you find that when you do find that common area of agreement, they're willing to work with you now. So I think McDonald definitely had the right approach, and that's certainly the approach we're going to be taking.
So let's look at the U.S. Senate currently with Tim Kaine representing us there. And the last time we talked to Dave Brad and Tom Garrett on Friday, and we were talking about the 300-some-odd bills that the U.S. House of Representatives have passed on to the Senate, where there's some sort of blockage that if it was a human body, we'd be going into surgery over. We talk about the Senate and what a Senate with Nick Freitas would hopefully do regarding getting legislative, agendas passed and bills moved forward and things like that.
Well, I think certainly the Senate is designed to be a more long-term deliberative process. But by the same token, it's gotten ridiculous. We have these rules that started in the early 70s, which essentially say that if you don't have 60 votes for something, nothing gets done. And that's absurd. That's not constitutional. That's a Senate rule that I think needs to be changed in order to get the process going a little bit faster. The other thing is that on the Senate, I think a lot of people don't realize this, but you really don't have floor debates in the House of Representatives. As much as I think you should, they really don't because of the rules. But we do have that ability to debate in the Senate, and I think we need to take every advantage and every opportunity to be able to show the contrast with respect to the approach to government, and especially some of this really good legislation that has gone forward. Some of it may not be perfect, but that's why we have the amendment process. That's why we have the debate process. But when it comes to the vote, it's an either-or proposition. And we need more senators that are willing to say, look, if this moves us in the right direction, I'm willing to vote for it, and I'm willing to go back to my constituents and make the argument for why it was the right thing to do, instead of engaging in this really risk-averse attitude, which says, well, if I think it might hurt me on election day, then I'm not going to do it. Well, no, the real question is it constitutional, and is it better for the American people? Is it better for the people of Virginia? If the answer is yes, then you do it. And if you think the press is going to excoriate you over it, go directly to the people and make your argument. And so a couple of ways that I think I would differentiate between myself and Tim Kaine is, again, I do think that rule change needs to take place where we can get more things for an up or down vote before the Senate. And again, I'm going to go out and make that argument both on the floor of the Senate and back to my constituents as well on why I think a potentially controversial piece of legislation is the right thing to do.
Last one before we let you go, Nick, and this will not be the last time. It may be the last time before Christmas, so I will definitely make sure Merry Christmas to you and your family, but certainly not the last time before. But give us a thumbnail sketch of legislation that Nick Freitas, Virginia delegate, has moved forward that would be indicative to a listener of the kind of legislation Nick Freitas, U.S. Senator, would move forward.
Well, and obviously the states and the federal government have two very different roles to play. But if you look at the legislation I've carried on increasing government transparency, trying to get rid of special rules to protect incumbents, a legislation that returns significant amounts of control back to the localities with respect to education, these are all things that I would want to carry with me, or the spirit of that legislation is what I want to carry with me in the federal role. And over there, the job is even more difficult, but even more important, because the federal government, I think regardless of whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent, Green, I think you all understand that the federal government has grown to a degree that is unmanageable, and it has become incredibly intrusive into our daily lives, into our personal lives, into our businesses. And so going up to Washington, D.C. with the intent of returning more control back to individuals, back to states, and keeping the federal government focused on its very important roles, but its limited roles, is going to be a hallmark of what I tried to do in the Senate.
Merry Christmas to you and yours, Nick. Congratulations on a big decision there. And get out there and start shaking hands now. There's no time left. It's like your friend Rob says, if you're not meeting a new voter, you're wasting your time. So get out there and start shaking the hands, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you, Jim. Merry Christmas to you and yours as well.
Oh, and by the way, is there a website for the listeners to go to? I know there's some Twitter handles I've put up there. Is it nickjfreitas.com, or is there a Senate campaign website up yet?
There is a Senate campaign website. If you go to www.nickforsenate.com, you'll find our Senate website, and then we have our Facebook page up just like usual, and Twitter, and we'll be happy to engage with voters any way we can.
I'll put that up in social media as well. God bless, Nick. You have a great morning. Thanks for joining us.
You too.